We were praying. He said, God, we know you are insanely good. And that's the only way I could think of saying it, is saying, God, you are insanely good to us. So I guess it's Pastor Donald and whoever wants to come up next.
Thanks, buddy. Amen. Actually, JJ has to work tonight, so I wanted to read his. I have several that couldn't come tonight. I know we had the opportunity to bring some teenagers from Allen Baptist down in Allen. Pastor Dave Ruck, he wanted his kids to go, but he couldn't go this year, so we asked if we could take them, and we're always willing to do that. I know we've done it with other churches in the past. So we took up their three kids, and they got to get close to our teenagers, and that was a wonderful time. But this is JJ's testimony. I'll share it right now before we have somebody else come. This is what JJ said. He said, I'm sorry I couldn't be there tonight. As a chaperone this year, I honestly needed Teen Spec 2. God used it to touch my heart in completely new ways. On Friday night, God let me be there to see Randall put his faith in Jesus. Jesus reached down in love and made it clear that he wanted nothing more than for Randall to be saved. Randall wanted nothing more than peace and forgiveness. I just had the privilege of being there to see grace work. I felt so unworthy and incapable, but I thank God for using me. Throughout the week, I prayed with so many great young guys. Mark, Wayne, David, Jesse, Randall, Eddie, Tristan, Avion, Dayton. These are awesome young men, and I'm ashamed that I've attended this church for so long without getting to know each of them. I'm thankful for the friendships that began or grew at Teen Spec this year. God knew what he was doing. Please continue to pray for all the teen guys and girls who truly sought after Jesus this week. With much joy, appreciation, and gratefulness to our insanely good God, J.J. Bininger. And I know he wishes he could be there for that. And we love, I know the Lord put it on my heart. J.J. was in the youth group for only 4 or 5 months before, after I got here. And then he graduated out and was just there for the summer. So only about 8 months did I have J.J. in the youth group. But I knew I wanted him to go. I never got to bring him to Teen Spec. I never got to bring Keith to Teen Spec. Keith's going to give his testimony in just a few minutes from the sound booth. But he got to go too. And these are guys, I said, man, they'll be, not only will they be a huge help, because I knew they would because they're awesome young men, but I knew that they'd be helped too. Because I know when I go that I'm helped. And I know my wife and our workers, when we go, we are encouraged. And I knew it would be an encouragement to their heart. And I'm so glad they went. I'm going to call next on Miss Sierra to come forward and give her testimony. Come on up, Sierra, give your testimony. And go ahead.
When I was there, we drove up there and I slept through the storm, so I didn't know we had went through a storm. When we got there, I went to the conferences with Pastor John and them. We went to the hotel and I had a bad attitude because I didn't want to be in a room with someone. And me and Pastor John talked through it. And then it was the reason I had a bad attitude is because when I was younger, my dad was in and out of my life. And then I thought it was because of me, and I learned when I started coming here, it's not that it was me, it's because he wasn't ready to become a dad. And so, the whole time I was thinking how he was in and out of my life and how I don't get to see my little brother, so I had an attitude towards Miss Mercer. And then, it's Grandma Hazel. She preached. You'll get it in a minute. Okay, so Grandma Hazel told us her testimony during the room thing, and it was kind of preaching to me, so that's why I said she was preaching. And she had told me how she had lied to her mom during the summertime. I was dating this kid named Alan. He's a really bad influence, so none of you teenagers meet him. And he had got me into smoking with him, not cigarettes. Okay. Cigarettes are bad for you, too. And I kept it from my mom for a couple weeks. And the Lord had told me that if I keep it from mom any longer, and when I tell her, she's going to get mad at me. So she was down fixing the pool with my stepdad because us kids broke it, and it was horrible. And so I went down, I told my mom, she's like, Sierra, it's okay. As long as you told me and was honest to me about it, you're good. And I was grounded to the yard for 3 weeks, which is just fine because my yard is pretty fun. So, and then We were on our way back, and I had a bad attitude too. So I'm sorry for that, Miss Marissa, Grandma Hazel, Grip Jack. What is that, this? And all the people back there. And then I was told to shut the window, and when it was hot in the back, and I wanted to leave it open. And then I was screaming the whole time coming back, so they were kind of mad at me for that too. So, yeah, you go fast.
Sierra is one of our quiet teenagers. It's hard to get her to say anything usually, so no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to have Eddie come up. Eddie's going to come up. He's just shook his head, no, but it's going to happen one of these times, buddy. And thank you, Sierra. And we love Eddie. So glad he's in our youth group. This is his first year in, and we're having a blast. Go ahead, buddy. Thanks
a lot. Okay. When I went to Teen Spec, all I was expecting was, yeah, I'm going to hear preaching. Yeah, I'm going to hear this and that. And I'm going to stick with it for 2 days and then get over with it and start over with my same life. But I've never gone to the altar by myself. I don't think I've ever gone to the altar without having my parents saying, come on. I went up there about 6 or 7 times, thanking God. And the very first service was about salvation. And I was saying, it's always like, oh, hey, you are not really saved. You're not God's children. And I settled that, and I left at the altar, and I shut Satan right up. And throughout the week, I got to know a lot more of the kids in the teen group because I just started coming back, and it was kind of hard for me to kind of know them and all that kind of stuff. But another one that really got to me was pretty much all of them about my friends. A lot of my friends at school, they're kind and stuff, but they say a lot of wrong words. And I tell them it is wrong all the time, and they don't care. And they're gone, and I'm starting over. And that's it.
Amen. Good job, buddy. Thank you. It's hard for her to get up here behind this pulpit. And we have Ashley going to come give her testimony. Go ahead, Ashley.
I'd like to ask Pastor Donald and Miss Marissa to come here for a second. This young lady and this young man have been so good to me, and I don't know, I do know why, it was the devil, but I had a bad attitude with him the whole entire time I was up there. I mean, I didn't really show him, but I knew in my heart that I had a bad attitude with him. I was mad at him. I hated them. I wanted them to leave, but not anymore. I love them. One of my decisions was not to be mad at them, not to hate them, not wanting them to leave, but for them to be a part of my life. And during one of the sessions, they had a skit. One of the college young men came out and started going through drawers. I'm sorry, you guys can go sit down now. But he's been starting to go through all the drawers and stuff from his life. His video games, his girlfriends, everything. And he saw one, people that he told the gospel to. That one only had like one or two things in it. But then one of the other college students, young man, came out pretending to be Jesus for the skit. He started opening all the drawers and putting his name on top of the young man. Like, it was representing Jesus coming out and paying for our crimes so we didn't have to. The very first session when we got up there, was about Calvary, salvation. That really spoke to my heart. Every time I went down to the altar, tears were in my face. I cannot stop crying. And Friday night, I think it was, we were in the guys' room for the last test, the last testimonies and everything. I was mad at my brother. That was the devil again. But when I was telling my testimony, I told him, when we were on the bus, I told my brother I loved him for the very first time. Hotel room doing the testimonies, I felt the devil just fighting, trying to get a hold of my heart, but I told him to leave me alone, and I still felt him fighting and trying to get a hold of me to the point I couldn't take it anymore. I had to do something. So when we were done and we got to the hotel, or the girls were in our rooms, I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't do anything. So I waited until everyone was asleep. I got a hold of my Bible, and I started praying. And then at that moment, I felt the devil just fleeing. And I wanted to read you a verse. It was Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've been sowing horrible, rotten seeds. Like Jemima said, I'm one person at home and another person at church, but no more. Whatever I am at church, I want to be at home. Thank you.
I'm going to have Dayton come up. Thank you so much, Ashley. We love you, Ashley. Come on up, Dayton. Dayton,
I feel for you, buddy.
I'm helping you out. Before he talks, I have to tell you, they had games all week long during the sessions, and it was actually, it's a wonderful idea, especially for a big conference. They don't just say, we need one guy and one girl, or we need, you know, two guys for the game, and then the guys just run up. They actually have everybody registered by name, so they'll actually draw names out of all 600, 700 teenagers, and the announcer in the back will say, and from Loomis Park Baptist Church, we'll be, and they'll actually call them out, and they have to, if they don't go up, they look really dumb. So they have to go up, and they had one game, they did it a couple times, and it was, you had to stand in a 5-gallon bucket, with a pillow, and then there was someone in front of you in a 5-gallon bucket with a pillow, and you had to hit each other, and whoever fell first lost. And the first couple of times we did it, it seemed like it was a, you know, either a tall girl and a shorter girl, or a tall guy and a shorter guy. And then they called one young man who was just, you know, pretty big kid, and pretty tall kid, and he stepped in the bucket, and they said, and from Loomis Park Baptist Church, Dayton Reedy. And Dayton came up, and I tell you, there was probably this much difference in height. And everybody was like, oh, come on, man, oh, man. And all the workers got behind Dayton and held him up so he wouldn't fall. And he knocked the other guy down. It was great. Go ahead, buddy.
I would like to thank Pastor Donald and Miss Marissa for everything they've done and the church for donating to this trip so we can go. And while we were there, when we were coming up, there was a whiteout, but I was in with Pastor Donald and two other kids, Randall and Eddie. And we were going, and then there's a whiteout, and the bus got stuck in it, but we just went through because it wasn't that bad. But when we got up there, we went in, and I thought it was just going to be preaching and stuff, but it was like 3 hours of preaching. It was fun. And when we got up to the motel room, I didn't like think what I was doing. And I was saying stuff. I said OMG, and then because I wasn't thinking what I was saying. And but when we were the second day of preaching and stuff, I went up to the altar and like 5 or 6 times, and I just poured my heart out to God. And the last day, when I went up there, I made a decision to give my life to God.
You know, it's Brother Judah, when he preached, he said this, and it was so true. He said, a walk with God is based on honesty. Being honest with yourself and realizing who you are. And I have a lot of respect for young people, a young man that can get up here and confess in front of a whole church things that he's done. I have a lot of respect for that, buddy. I really do. I'm going to call up Jasmine right now. Jasmine, this is Jasmine's first year coming with us, and we're so glad that she came too. So she's going to come. She's one of our bus teenagers, but she's one of our teenagers, first of all. So we're glad she's here. Go ahead.
I want to thank Miss Lally because she's the first teacher I ever had. I want to thank Mr. and Miss Boston because they pick me up every Sunday. Miss Pastor Donald and Miss Marissa, Grandpa Jack and Hazel, and my old Sunday school teacher. I keep forgetting her name. And Pastor Rich. And my testimony is that when I first started coming to church, I wasn't doing the right things, and I wasn't dressing right, and I wasn't wearing what I should have been, and at school I wasn't doing what I should have been. And during preaching, I went up to the altar about once, and I decided that I was going to start doing right. And that's my testimony.
Amen. Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you so much. Man, it's good so far, isn't it, folks? Praise the Lord. This is Wayne. We love Wayne. Go ahead, buddy.
First of all, I'm thankful for the fire that was started. And Brother Randy Digman, he preached on getting started up and staying started up. And he was just getting started up and... And there was a man that came to the altar and prayed during singing. And to not cover yourself in a fur coat, but to be truthful for the Lord, for God, not whatever else could. And I want to thank you guys for paying for us and letting your teens go. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. I'm going to have Miss Alexis come. Come on up, Alexis. Alexis is probably one of the craziest teenagers I've ever met in my entire life. She knows it, too. Go ahead.
Well, I want to thank all you guys who helped pay for us to go and stuff, and I want to thank my parents for letting us go. And just being able to go kind of reminded me how good God is and how much I can trust Him, because at first, like, we were planning on going, and then my mom told us we might not be able to go because some things got messed up and stuff, and even afterwards, I still kept praying and asking God to let us go, and then my parents were able to work some out, Pastor Allen, so then me and Mark got to go. And then while we were there, like, some of the service and stuff, like, they reminded me how good God is, and so I'm just thankful that I have Him and the church and stuff in my life. Yep.
Amen. Thank you, Alexis. Avion's going to come up. We love Avion. This is his first time, too. Go ahead, buddy. Does he need the chair? He's pretty good. No, he's good.
My voice is a little low, so excuse me for a minute. Well, I had a wonderful time at the church. It was a very good time. And I thank Pastor Donald for letting me come to the this teen spec, because I wasn't going to be able to go. And I thank him for letting me come here. And I really like this church very much. I remember the first day I was here, I was like super embarrassed. And the kid who led me to this place was Dayton, who was just speaking. He's my step cousin. And I remember the first day I came here, I was like really weird. It was like I didn't know what to do. It was like really weird, and I just didn't act right. And then the past few weeks I have been here, I've just been thinking about God and praying for Him. And every single night before I go to bed, I always pray for Him at my bed below, my knees on the ground. And, well, at Teen Spec, I had a wonderful time. I snowboarded and fell. Really weird. And, I did some really bad stuff on the bus I shouldn't have done. I knew I shouldn't have, but I forgave and I said sorry and a lot of stuff that I said. And when we went in the first day on Thursday, when we went to go listen to all the preachers and Pastor Donald sing, I went up to the altar a few couple times and I asked God to please save me. And I really appreciate the save me, and I told Him, I said, "Can I please come with you? Can I please come up with you?" And I just love God, I really do. And I just prayed to Him. I said, "I can't wait to see you. I hope I come up and see you when I'm gone away, and I would miss my family, and I hope they would go up with me, and I hope I would do the right things when I grow up and have a good future." And I just hope I have a good life and everything. And I just think for everybody, even JJ and Keith back there by the computer, for helping us out and having a good time. I had a wonderful time. I loved how the first preacher, what was his name? Brother Dallas. He did really, really good preach, and I was like really into it. And I was just really glad about it, and I just love God. And this is my answer. I wish I could be up there right now and just see Him with my own eyes and my soul, and I would say thank you and amen. Thank you for my speech.
Amen. What a sweet one. Good job, buddy. Thank you, buddy. I'm going to have Caitlin come forward this time. You know, Caitlin, I said Sierra was one of our quiet ones. Caitlin's one of our very loud teenagers. Right, guys?
So I caught a bit of a cold while I was gone, so just bear with me. Well, I went to Teen Spec, and I didn't expect to have much of a change. And when I went there, one of the things that really moved me was when Brother Judah preached, and it was about being honest and being real with God. And I realized that I had not been, and that I was a different person at home than I was at church. And I decided that from now on, I am going to be the same person all the time, and that that I'm going to unashamedly just worship God and just be more faithful. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Kim. We had the opportunity to take the Miller's granddaughter. Many of you know Brookie. We call her Brookie, Brooke Armstrong. She helped with VBS. What a sweet girl. And I had mentioned to them, I said, "Why don't you see if she can go?" You know, probably, what was it, 2 weeks ago, right before we left, I said, "Why don't you see if she can go?" It was that same week. Yeah, it was the same week. I said, "Why don't you see if she can go?" You know, she comes to some of our activities. So then she ended up being able to go, and it was awesome. And she couldn't be here because she has her own church, but she did give a testimony, so I'd like to read it for you. It says, "Hello, my name is Brooke Armstrong. Most of you know me as Jack and Hazel Miller's granddaughter. I was privileged enough to be able to attend Teen Spectacular with the Loomis Park Teen Group, and I am so grateful for that opportunity. God was really wonderful in working it all out so that I could go. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to attend the service tonight, but with my own church and family schedule, it just couldn't work out. We were supposed to give a testimony about our experience at Teen Spec. As the others have no doubt already said, it was an amazing, spirit-filled weekend. I haven't been in a service where the power of the Holy Ghost was so heavy in a long time. To experience services like that, the overwhelming feeling of conviction all around me, and just sincere worship of the Lord, is worth more than many of the things that I value today. Pastor Abdel Judah was my favorite speaker. He preached a message on Friday about Jacob and how he tried to fool his father by wearing the goat skin on his arms when he fed him the soup. The message really hit me hard. I've been trying to wear the goat skins of being a good Christian. I've been acting like everything was okay with my walk with God when I had a lot of things that I needed to get right. Many tears have been shed over the weekend, and I now have a resolve to get moving in the right direction again. Like Brother Derek Haglund preached this weekend, we are to be about our Heavenly Father's business. I want to start His business back up in my life and get back to having a Spirit-filled, fired-up relationship with the Lord. We also learned a very valuable lesson from Pastor Tony Shirley. He was a passionate Southern preacher, and just watching him interact during the services would be an inspiration to anyone. He spoke on stay calm and worship on. He reminded us of the difference to praising God and worshiping Him. Praising God is telling others how wonderful He is and how much you love Him. Worshiping God is telling Him how wonderful He is and how much you love Him. Wow. We had the big preacher visit us that night. She's talking about the Lord. We had the big preacher visit us that night. And if there wasn't a person that felt the power of God moving in that place that night, they probably needed to get saved or get right with God along with the rest of us. So all in all, it was a fabulous weekend. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Donald and Marissa. Pastor Donald led the singing for everyone up there, and he did a fantastic job. You are blessed with a phenomenal youth pastor. Pastor Donald is one of those people that has a contagious fire for God, and I have great respect for him and Miss Marissa. Also, a big thank you to my grandparents, Jack and Hazel Miller, Keith Sammons, and J.J. Bittinger, for coming along with all of us and helping make everything easier for all of us. I pray that God will bless them for their dedication to helping with the teens. And once again, I am truly blessed that I got to attend this life-changing meeting with the LPBC Youth Group. I love all of them dearly, and I love Loomis Park Baptist Church. So to all of my youth group friends listening to this letter, let's keep this fire going, guys. And that spoke to my heart. Let's not forget the faithful men that preached their hearts out to us this weekend. Let's not forget the important decisions that we made this weekend. As the theme for Teen Spec 2014 was, let's keep calm and carry on. Thank you from Brooke Armstrong. What a sweet song. Amen. We're so glad she got to come with us, and what a wonderful testimony that was as well. I'm going to have Randall come, and we're so glad he's here. And Randall, I want you just to talk about what the Lord did in your heart and a little bit about yourself. And he's got that beautiful red cast, courtesy of Loomis Park Baptist Church.
Not courtesy of Loomis Park Baptist Church. Well, not courtesy of Eddie. Many of you may know, as he just said, my name is Randall Pollentier. I broke my wrist working at a work day for this very event of Teen Spec, and while I was there, the Lord spoke to my heart, kind of like Pastor Don said in JJ's letter, that JJ helped me get led to the Lord, which was kind of what I was going to say, so I'm going to have to yell at him when I see him. And what Jesse said was about how the theme was keep calm, carry on, and I hope that everyone in here will just keep calm and carry on. I can't remember what preacher it was that said it, but he was talking about how if any preacher, like if Pastor Rich was to fall, who would take his place? Who would pray? Who would lead this church? And I pray that anyone would help him and just keep calm and carry on. And another preacher that spoke to my heart was, I think it was Abdel Judah. He was talking about his first time to a church camp and how he just went there no matter what. He had to pick between some garbage bags or a pink suitcase. He chose the pink suitcase. That's what Tristan was, too. He had a pink suitcase. And just that he had a fun time there, and he just got right in. That's when he became a good Christian man, and that's what Teen Spec did to me. I am now a good Christian man. I gave my life to the Lord, where if He wants me to become a preacher, a missionary, anything, I will be there for Him.
Thank you, buddy. And Randall, it's amazing how the Lord works things out. A few weeks ago, we haven't seen Randall in a few months, and We keep in contact with our teens that maybe aren't faithful. And he told me I could say this, and we talked about this before. But he didn't come for a few weeks, and he was nervous to call. And we love Randall. We always have. And he called me the day of the sweetheart banquet. Actually, we were running around like crazy trying to get things figured out, and I didn't recognize the number, and I answered, hello. And it was Randall, and his voice was a lot deeper when I heard him, because I hadn't seen him in a few months. And Randall said, hey, Pastor, I was wondering if it would be all right. And I'm thinking, obviously it would be okay if someone could pick me up for church tomorrow. I said, yes, buddy, let me call the Millers, and we figured it out and got him here. And that was just really about a week and a half before Teen Spec. And he got here Sunday, and I said, buddy, you need to go to Teen Spec. He said, oh, what's Teen Spec? And we told him about it. And praise the Lord, he got to go, and he got saved, and Lord did great work in his heart. So Anne's going to come now. Anne is such a sweet young lady. She's been coming since I believe this past year, and just has such a sweet spirit. She's never given us any problems. And that's pretty big, because I think every single one of them also has, but she hasn't yet, so.
I want to say thank you to Pastor Allen and Ms. Marissa for helping me go to Teen Spec. And like everybody else is saying, Brother Judah prayed on being preached on being real. And on Friday night, we had devotion in one of the boys' rooms from 11 to 1:30 in the morning. And I asked God to be my Savior that night. I want to thank everybody else for being helpful in making the donation so we could all go to Teen Spec. And God really spoke to my heart that time, this week. And I want to thank the rest of my youth group for praying for us, and you guys for praying for us.
We have one more teen, then we're going to move into our workers. And I thank you all so much for encouraging our teens to give their testimonies. Grace is going to come up next. I'm going to read just these two cards. These are from the Ruck kids, Pastor Ruck's two kids. They filled out a decision card. These are the visitors that came with us. And Elizabeth Ruck, a sweet young girl, very shy, but I know she got really close to Ashley and some of our girls. She said, God called me to be a prayer warrior. And that was her decision. And then David Ruck, he was, I believe, her older brother. He said, I will reach more people with the gospel. I will work more to reach out to people. And it was such a blessing having them with us. Coming. And then they had another sister that was with us as well and just had a great time. Grace is going to give her testimony.
Okay. So, I do not really want to say this, but to be honest, I'm going to because I believe it's the right thing to do. But before I give my testimony, I want to thank everyone for praying for us, and to the Millers and Pastor Donald and JJ and Keith for going, and all this church for giving money to help us. A lot of you don't know this, but me and Jemima ride the bus every Sunday, and the Bostons pick us up every single week for the past, 3 years. And I'm so thankful to them, and so that I can serve God on the bus ministry. I love it so much. Last year at Teen Spec, I went, and God really spoke to me, and I got my heart right with God, and I made so many decisions to live for Him and do right, and I kept them for about 2 months, and I slowly started to go away and slide away, and we would have youth rallies and revivals, and I would go back and get right, and then just slowly started to slide away. And in July, my family went to a conference, and it was so awesome. And I got right with God again, And then, like, since then, it was so much easier because I realized how Satan was attacking me, and I figured out his defenses or his attacks on me, and so I knew how to avoid them. But, like, oh, about a month ago, I started to get away from God again, and I didn't even realize it because Satan is very subtle, and he decided to change his tactics on me. So my heart had been growing cold for a long time, and I'll say I did not want to go to Teen Spec at all because I knew I would get convicted about my sin, and I didn't want God to speak to me, and that was totally my fault. So I tried to think of every excuse that I could so that I wouldn't have to go, but I couldn't think of any good ones, so I had to go. But, like, the night before, I took my heart and I locked it up tightly, very hard. And we went there, and the first message, God started knocking on my heart. I was convicted, and then I knew I needed to get right with God, and I told the Holy Spirit no. And the next message, God was speaking to me again, and I said no. And for the next, for six messages, God was speaking to me, and I kept saying, no, I'm not going to get right. I'm too proud, and I don't want anyone to know that anything is wrong with me. And Miss Marissa, the first day, she noticed that something was wrong with me, and she kept coming up to me and saying, Grace, what's wrong? What's wrong? I know something's wrong. I'm like, nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. And she's like, all right, you're either going to talk to me now or you're going to talk to me tonight at the hotel. I'm like, okay. And I just kind of brushed it off. And I avoided her the whole day. And that night I went to bed. And I was like, relief, I don't have to talk to her. And I got up the next morning and I went the whole day saying no to God and not letting him speak to me. And finally it was nighttime, about like 5 o'clock, and she finally cornered me and made me talk to her. And I told her some of what was going on. Satan has been throwing seeds of doubt at me, causing me to doubt his word, causing God's word, causing me to get bitterness toward people. And we had to leave and go to a basketball tournament, so I didn't really get to talk to her that much, and I didn't get right with God then, and so I went to the basketball tournament, and I was trying to be by myself and avoid her, and then she told Pastor Donald what had happened, and he told JJ what was going on, and JJ came up to me, and he was talking to me about it and trying to help me. And then after he was done, I went up in the bleachers all by myself, and I was just sitting alone. And then after a while, Pastor Donald came up, and he was encouraging me to pray to God and ask him for help and strength. And it was actually the first time he's ever yelled at me for doing anything wrong. He wasn't mad at me. He was just trying to help. But it was really weird to be on the wrong side for once. But and so I knew that I was wrong, so I wanted to find out what was wrong and get it right. And I went to bed that night, and the next morning, it was the last day, Saturday, and I finally opened up my heart to God. And in the first message, he was speaking to me, and I finally said, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to get it right." And after that, it was just so much better, because when you're away from God, you don't have any peace. The whole 2 days before, I was feeling so horrible. I couldn't eat. I had to force myself to eat. I couldn't sleep at all. But it was so much better when I got right with God. So the first 2 days, I really missed out, and because I was not letting God speak to me. But the last day was so great. And it was so good. Oh, I forgot. It was Friday night when we had devotions in our room, that Pastor John shared some verses from Psalms 34. And in the past, those verses have really spoken to my heart. So it was just slowly chipping away. And they had testimonies. And I finally, I felt like, "Grace, if you don't get right with God now, if you don't let me speak to you, I might stop speaking to you, and I might put you away and not use you." And so I'm like, I finally gave in, because I want God to use me. I just want to say, if you've been saying no to God, you have to give in. You're not going to have true peace, true joy. You might have some happiness now and then when things are going your way, but it won't last. The peace of God is the only thing that lasts. So I know a lot of you have been praying over us, and I love you people so much. I'm so thankful for you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Gracie. I have some things I want to say, but I'm going to wait till it's my turn. So I'm going to have Keith's going to give his from the sound booth right now. You got that mic, Keith? All set?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to thank Pastor Donald for letting me go. He could have let anyone else go, but he specifically asked me about a month ago, and I told him I'd pray about it, and I decided that I was going to go, and I'm just so thankful that I made the decision to go, because it was a great week, and these teens, some of them were really good kids, and they made great decisions. And Friday night when we were having the devotional, Mrs. Miller said something. She had a 2-year-old kid, she said, and she made a decision to go and go to church, because at that time she was out of church, she said, and just really thought about that. She made a decision, and because of that decision, later on in life, Mr. Miller got saved, and then they started working with the teens, and I think they said over 10 years they've been working with the teens, and just all the lives they've touched, and just really spoke to me, because if Mrs. Miller would not have made that decision, who would have reached those teens? One decision changed everything. A decision to read your Bible or not read your Bible, go to church or not go to church. I mean, it just really spoke to me. I mean, just one decision can affect over hundreds of lives. And I just thankful for Mr. Miller and Mrs. Miller and the Savines, and just thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Our faithful driver, the young Jack Miller. Amen. Thank you.
Okay. I'm the oldest teenager here. I've been trying to act a little better. I'd just like to thank everybody here for allowing us to go. Thank you for trusting me with your teens. And I don't know why anybody in their right mind would do this. See, that's the problem. You work with the teenagers, and sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's not hard, but we're working with our future church leaders. You know? They will become like some of the people out here. There's teens out here. I mean, people out here I used to work with when they were teenagers. We got Jen Gilbert. We got JJ and Keith and Lem and Katie. They were teenagers, and they did well, you know. So that's why I like to work with the teenagers. I like to see them do better. See them develop into young adults. Sometimes it's hard, but it's worth it. It's worth it. The conference was great, and there's one of the messages about boundaries, and it's just so important to make sure we stay in bounds. Actually, I would say don't even get close to the boundary. You know, stay back from that boundary. You know what? We know what they are. We need to stay away from them. You know, if we know something's wrong, stay way back. So, anyhow, I thank you for the privilege of being work with the teens. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's tough, but we hang in there because we're looking for future church leaders. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Uncle Jack. How true it is. We have his dear wife, Miss Hazel, and we're so thankful for the Millers. And just in the past 2 years, how much they've helped us and encouraged us, and we love them so much. And before I start crying, I'm going to let her do it for me.
Well, my thought was I'm going to get up here and say, okay, it was a great 3 weeks, or 3 days. Preaching was fantastic, and because Pastor always accuses me of preaching, I'm done. But I'm not done. preaching was fantastic, and it was a great 3 days. And why did you say you were going to let me do the crying? Because you knew I would start. The first day was fantastic, but it was when Brother Judah preached on being real, not wearing the goat's hair. I had shared my testimony with Pastor Donald on our way down to Arkansas, so he knew it. And I knew I needed to share it with the teens, but it just never worked out, or I felt at the right time and stuff. But after he preached on being real, you know, not living a lie, I knew I had to share with them. As a teen, I was already saved. I got saved at 8. But when I became a teen, I picked the wrong friends. And I made some real dumb decisions. And I started smoking, and I kept that from my parents. And I didn't want to look bad in front of my parents. I kept that a secret for 20 years. And I guess one thing I really wanted to stress was to the kids was that it was 20 years of wasted life. Even though I could still share Christ with people and do I couldn't be used the way Christ wanted me to be used. And I think that's one reason why I love working with the teens so much, is because I've made the mistakes. I know the mistakes, and I don't want them to make those mistakes. I don't want them to have those wasted years. And I also shared with the kids that night, you know, the decisions they made this week, they're great decisions. They're life-changing decisions, but they're going to struggle. And I know you people are so faithful to pray for them. And I asked them, and I don't want to use the term anymore, our bus kids or our church kids. I put a division there. They're our kids. But some of our kids don't have the encouragement they need at home. And I encouraged them to find someone at church that could be like a mentor to them, you know, go to you and tell you that, you know, this is where I struggle, or this is this decision I made. I need you to pray for me and be an encouragement to me. But I'm stepping out of my bounds. Okay. I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to ask you guys to go to Pastor Donald and say, who can I mentor? Who can I be an encouragement to? And I want you to keep in contact with those kids. Write cards. You know, let them know that you're praying for them. You know, don't let these kids slip away and struggle. You heard from Gracie. I mean, she comes from a family that I know it prays for her, a good background. And you heard her say how she struggles. How just in just a short time, she starts slipping away from those decisions she's made. Don't let our kids do that. I guess I'm done.
Thank you so much, Ms. Hazel. Please come see me, folks. We need you. We need you. They need you. She's so right. I could tell story after story of teens sitting right behind me that come from rough homes. And they don't have any encouragement at home. Really, they don't just have no encouragement. They have discouragement at home. Not just... I know of one young person behind me right now that not only is he... Not only are they... not encouraged, but they're completely discouraged from doing anything for God, and they need people to step up. We do as much as we can because it's our job. We can't do every single thing. We invest in every single one of them, but we can't always give. We give 100% to every one of them, but listen, they need other people to give 100%. They're going to need you folks. Oh, and I know you pray for them, but do what she, please come see. My wife's going to come give her testimony.
I'm not even really sure what to say after all that. I feel like it's almost all been covered, but I just want to thank you guys so much for giving and praying for our teenagers. I know my husband and I ran into Mrs. Hoffman. She's not here tonight. Before, I think it was Tuesday before we left for Teen Spec, and she asked for names of people to specifically pray for that we thought might need a little bit more prayer than others, or just and. I'm so thankful to know that there's people in our church besides my husband and I that truly care about our teenagers, that really pray for them. And so I'm thankful for that. And I'm just thankful that I got to go and that the Lord should decide to use me to be here and to work with these teenagers and really watch God work on their hearts. Like JJ said, I feel so undeserving and unknowledgeable and all this, but I'm just so thankful that God would decide to use me. And I think one thing that I learned this week, or these 3 days, is that God truly does answer prayer. There, my husband and I really spent time on the altar specifically praying for two of our teenagers, and you just watched him and her testify of the things that the Lord did for them this week. And so I'm just thankful that God hears us and he answers our prayers. And I'm thankful for the Millers and for Mr. Miller driving our bus and doing such a good job and getting us there and back safely. And for Aunt Hazel being there for the girls when I can't, and loving them in a way that maybe I can't because she's older, and just thankful for her wisdom, and for JJ and Keith who came and took time off of work and really just decided to serve the Lord and come this week and really help us out, and for my husband doing such a good job and taking us up to the conference and leading the songs, and I'm just, my heart is so full, I'm not even really sure what to say, but that I'm so thankful. And thank you very much. We love you guys.
I'm not going to take too long tonight. I want to give my testimony. I'm not going to preach tonight, but I do want to share something with you, my testimony. And as they've mentioned, I had the privilege to lead the singing, so I had to sit in the platform. And it was so different this year. Instead of sitting you know, behind some of our teens, or I couldn't see. I saw every one of their faces. And I knew who was listening. I knew who wasn't listening. I knew who was in it. I knew who wasn't in it. And I know many teens who gave testimonies, I watched them throughout the week. And Gracie mentioned in her own testimony, I watched Gracie fight the Holy Spirit. And it killed me. And it killed my wife. I watched other teens fight the Holy Spirit. And listen, there were hundreds and hundreds of teens. But I didn't, not that I didn't care about the other teens, but I cared most about my teenagers. I want God to speak to their heart. I don't care if I was up on a platform and everybody knew my name. I could care less about that. I was caring about my teenagers. I wanted God to work in their heart. And we did pray, and my wife and I did weep on an altar and pray. And I know I met with one of the other youth pastors on Saturday morning, and Gracie, we prayed for you. We prayed for you, and I said, Lord, I said, I don't know what's going on. And we had talked that night and the night before, and we talked, and I said, I just hope the Lord gets a hold of her. And that morning, that Saturday morning, Gracie was the first one on the altar when that invitation came. And I lost it. I was so fired up, excited, and just seeing God work in our teenagers' lives. It was something unforgettable. And each and every one of the teens, I'm so proud of each and every one of them. I love each and every one of them. So glad for those who were saved, who made life-changing decisions. And I did want to share one more testimony from really not a teenager anymore, but she's from our youth group. And that's from Angie Becker. Angie Becker attends Faith Baptist Church with I know she, Abby goes there, her sister and her boyfriend goes there, and she's been faithful there. And she stopped coming to Loomis, and that was all right. She didn't leave in a bad note or anything like that, but she started going there. Her boyfriend attends there, and she graduated high school and out of the youth group. And she last year went to Teens Back and said, and you remember last year, she came back and she was so fired up, excited about serving God. I'm going to Grace Baptist in the fall and I'm going to live for God. And it was such an amazing time. And she was faithful. And then as the time went by, she started to kind of slip. And she admitted this. She said, you know, I was still in church, but my heart really wasn't in it. And she, in the summer, talked to me and Marissa and wanted to talk to us and said, you know, I'm just not going to go to Grace in the fall. I don't think it's the right thing. And we asked her, well, you know, is it your boyfriend? What is it? And she goes, no, it's not that. And she kind of gave, and we said, okay, well, we're not the Holy Spirit. We don't know. And if that's what you think the Lord wants you to do, then that's all right. You know, we love you, and we're going to be here for you. And throughout the summer, she went, and we still contacted her and talked to her. And she went to Teens Back this year with Faith Baptist, kind of as a teen/sponsor, even though she's out of high school. And it was good to see her there, and she was on the complete opposite side of our teenagers, so I really focused on my teenager. But I did see one point during the service, and we knew that Angie had been, and she said, I gave her testimony. We knew that she'd been struggling lately, with struggling with different things, and just, I guess, not knowing what for her future holds, and just nervous and just discouraged, very discouraged. And I watched from the platform. This is why I love being on the platform. I saw teens come forward, but I saw from the across the room, Angie run across the room and grab my wife's hand, her youth pastor's wife, someone she counted on, and brought her to the front and in tears and wanted her to pray with her. And that night, Friday night, she pulled us aside at the gym and said, and she said, I want to tell you something. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And she said, I'm going to go to Grace in the fall. And go to Grace in the fall. And I said, Grace, yeah. I said, that's great. Grace is a good school. I said, what made you change your mind? I said, you know, because I didn't say, you said that last year, you didn't do it. I didn't say that at all. But I said, you know, what happened? And she said, I've been out of God's will. She said, I know the reason for my discouragement. I've been out of God's will. I've been out of God's will. And she said, and I lied to you last year. I didn't go because of my boyfriend. She said, and I'm not going to lie. She said, I need you guys in my life. And man, how heavy is that? She said, I need you guys in my life. She said, I need the Lord first. I know, she said, but I need your encouragement. She said, because she kind of avoided us. I think she thought we were mad at her. We told her we weren't at all, but she said, I need you in my life. And the next morning, after they preached, one of the preachers preached, there was, the altar call was given, and many teens came forward, and decisions were made. And she came to us afterwards. She pulled, after everybody was getting dismissed for lunch, and she pulled us aside in the front, and she said, and she tried saying, she kept getting ready to cry, but she kept saying, and she said, thanks for not giving up on me. She said, thanks for not giving up on me. And listen, folks, I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. But listen, don't give up on these teenagers. Don't give up on these teenagers. Listen, I had no idea that Angie was out of God's will. Listen, I had no idea what was going on in Gracie's heart. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know. Listen, but I do know that I'm here for a reason, that we're here for a reason. We're here to serve God and to invest our lives into these teenagers. And I don't want to give up on them, and I won't, because there will be fruit. There will be fruit. Results will be. And listen, it may not be every one of them. It may not. Listen, I hope none of these teens fall away. But the potential is there, and they need the encouragement. Mark chapter 2, I want to read this verse. These verses talking about, it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house," talking about Jesus in the house. "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith," it didn't say his faith, the one who was crippled. "When Jesus saw their faith," those four men that uncovered that roof and worked hard and broke open that roof and lowered that, it probably wasn't light, and they lowered that man down to Jesus Christ. When he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Listen, folks. Let's be that four as a church. Listen, we can't do it on our own. I wish we could, but we're counting on you folks and your prayers and your love. And not just your prayers and your love, but your involvement in the lives of these teams. Let's be those four that uncovered the roof. Man, they worked hard. They did whatever they could to get that sick man down to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus saw their faith, oh, the miracle started. The miracle happened. And let Jesus see our faith. Let Jesus see our faith. And we'll watch Him perform miracles in each and every one of these teenagers' lives. Oh, folks, I hope you'll join me in helping. We're going to do something different tonight. Instead of an invitation, I'm going to have our teens come forward and to the altar. Can you come? Can you come right now? Many life changes were made. And I'm going to ask us as a church, Miss Vivian, if you'd come to the organ and just play anything, you can play any invitation song you'd like. And our teens are going to come and they're going to pray on the altar. You go ahead and kneel down, and you've made some great decisions this year. And folks, I'm going to encourage us as a church family, to come and gather around these teens. And let's have special prayer. Families, you get with your teenagers. If you've got teens here, you come and pray with them. But let's say some of our kids whose family isn't here. Well, let's get around those teens that don't have their family here. Let's come right now. Let's stand together. Come down and get around these teenagers. They need you, folks. They need you. They need your help. They need your love. They need your encouragement. Pray for them for their decisions that they need to keep. They need your help. They need your love. Maybe there's no room to get up. Well, you just sit in the front pew and you pray for these teenagers that God will help them. That God will give them the strength to keep these decisions. Let's be that four. Let Jesus see your faith.